Glory to God in the highest. This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at a subject that is very, very important as far as our daily walk in the Spirit is concerned. See, every word of God is important. Don't get me wrong. There's no jot nor tittle from the word of God that is not important. But there are some key things that we have to keep at the forefront of our daily thoughts. Because those things, if we neglect them, they can trip us up. And most of the time when we trip up in those areas, we are not even aware that we have tripped up. You know, sometimes when we fall away from the right way, so to say, it may take us long to realize. Because in spiritual things, many times, if you are not sensitive, if you are not alert, will not even recognize that you are falling away from the way you are supposed to be on or be in. You see, in physical things, if you bounce your toe, you feel the hurt immediately. Isn't that so? But spiritually, sometimes you bounce your toe, it takes a process of time before you know you've bounced your toe. You might continue bouncing it, until the toe is totally damaged. But thank God, he can still heal the toes when we cry to him and appeal to his mercy. There's no situation too far gone with God. But what we are saying is, if we pay attention to certain things, we don't need to suffer damage in the realm of the Spirit. We can walk in the victory. We can walk in the best that God has for us at all times if we pay attention to certain things that the devil usually uses to trip us up. And I'm going to be talking this morning about presumption. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 from verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Before we look closely at this passage of scripture, and then we are going to turn to some other scriptures, I want you to notice right there in verse 14 that the point of reference really as to how we walk, whether we are walking the right way or the wrong way, our point of reference to check up is God himself, not any man. You know, many times we try to look good in the sight of men. And then we don't really care much about how we look in the sight of God. And wisdom, genuine wisdom, teaches us that the other way around should actually be the key. We should be more concerned about how we look in the sight of God. Because if we look good in the sight of God, that's all that matters. Whether men think we are good or not, that's not important because they are not our judge. At the end of the day, we are standing before the judgment seat of Christ. But if we try to please men and then displease God, then we are in trouble. Because when we come before God, what are we going to say? Are we going to say like Saul, well, because of the people, I disobeyed your word? Will God accept our excuses? No. So we should be more concerned about how we are in the sight of God. And that's where the fear of God comes in. In our walk as Christians. Because when we focus more on God as the point of our reference, we'll realize that God can see both in the open and in the secret. And there'll be no pretending in our lives anymore. Honesty will come because I'll realize, well, whether men see me or not, God is seeing me. And therefore, that fear of God in my heart will guide me in the way of honesty. And that is how we ought to live as Christians. And this is what we find David, a man after God's heart, doing here in this psalm. He was humble enough to say, God, you are my examiner. Who can understand his errors? In other words, I can't mark my paper by myself. You have to be the one marking my script to ensure that I pass in your own sight. It's not about in the sight of men. We all know David had so many enemies. If you talk to his enemies in his days, they will say David was a bad man. And that's how it is with you and I today. Look at Jesus, who came to this earth, perfect Jesus. Jesus who had no sin. Look at how many people called him bad names. But some people even said Jesus was the chief of the devil himself. Some people called him a drunkard. Some people called him a glutton. They called him all manner of names. And towards the end of his ministry here on earth, they lied against him so much. They said so many things that he never said. They said, he said he will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. He said this, he said that. He never told them all those things. They are twisting his word around. But you see, Jesus focused on the Father. He made sure that he pleased the Father. And that is why God has exalted him now. He pleased the Father. Our focus should be on God. Our point of reference in our daily walk as Christians is God. As long as we focus on God and make sure that we please God, nothing else matters to us. Whether people are pleased or not, that's their own business. As long as I'm pleasing God, that's the end of the story. Hallelujah. We have to understand these things. We have to understand these things. Because it's so easy to miss God and not realize we've missed him. I mean, that's just the truth about it. So we need to focus on God as the point of reference. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In other words, it's all about you. As long as what I'm thinking in my heart and what I'm saying out of my heart or out of my mouth is acceptable in your sight, oh God, that's the end of the story. Whether people think my words are good or not, that's their business. If you say my words are good, oh God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether people think that what I'm thinking is right or wrong, as long as you say it is right, praise God. Hallelujah. And that brings us into rest as Christians. Because the key, actually, to living a successful Christian life is to just focus on God. Because if you are focusing on people, they will toss you to and fro. There's no way you can please everybody. This one will say, well, you are not doing it right unless you do it that way. And then you try to do it that way, another person will find compliance. Say, that's not the right way to do it. And then you change again to this, and then another person says, that's not. At the end of the day, you'll be confused. Just focus on God and forget about what people say. So David said, well, all I need is to ensure that the thoughts of my heart, what I'm thinking here, what I'm meditating here, and what I'm saying out of my mouth is acceptable in your sight, oh God, my strength and my redeemer, and I put full stop right there. Not a comma. So whatsoever others think, I don't care. Hallelujah. This is the life of a Christian. This is the life of somebody whose heart is after God. It's all about God. Forget about the people. Forget about anybody judging you, right or wrong. It doesn't matter to you. Your real judge is God. Hallelujah. Now let's back up to verse 13 where we are going. Again, look at verse 12 in the setting of the passage we've read. That's humility. I don't understand everything. God is the one who understands all things. So I must get understanding from him and live to please him. Hallelujah. How many people know that our knowledge is in part unless God enlightens the eyes of our understanding to know? We don't know. We are like blind people unless God gives us light and direction. Hallelujah. We must depend on God. Humility teaches us to depend on God. You and I can't do anything apart from God helping us to get them done successfully. Now verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's where we are going this morning. Presumptuous sins. What are they? David called them sins. Today, we don't call them sins anymore. In fact, some of us make excuses for our presumptions. And yet, David in his own day said those things are sin. And if we really study the Bible very closely, my Bible tells me that whatsoever is not done in faith is sin. Remember, that's what Bible says in Romans chapter 14. If I put your finger there, let's quickly look at that. You see, let us call sin, sin. There's no point trying to decorate it with nice words. God says sin is sin, so sin is sin. David, a man after God's heart, says presumption is sin. Today, we will make excuses for our presumption. And some of us are actually walking in presumption, thinking we are walking in faith, and we don't even realize that we are not on the road of faith at all. We need to understand these things and be able to discern between what is faith and what is presumption. It is important. Otherwise, we can miss it. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever, please underline that in your Bible, whatsoever is not of faith. If I do anything and I don't do it in faith, in other words, do it according to the word of God, it is sin in the sight of God. We can decorate it with words today and say, well, it's just a weakness. God says it is sin. But I will say, well, it is a weakness. It's just a weakness. God says it is sin. If it is not of faith, then it is sin. Because the only thing that pleases God is faith. And if you can't please God and you are displeasing him, then you are sinning. Because God is righteous. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Psalm chapter 19. So that's why David called presumption sin. Presumption is sin. So he said, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Let them not rule over my life. Because that's the only way I'm going to be upright before you. And I'm going to be innocent from the great transgression. What is the great transgression? Well, the great transgression is a falling away from faith. In fact, that's what Jesus himself said, that when he cometh, will he find faith here on earth? Some people call it apostasy. In other words, people just departing from the faith and bringing up their own way of faith rather than going God's own way of faith. It's already happening in our own days. People are twisting the word of God around and wrongly dividing it and choosing to do it their own way rather than God's own way. That's a great transgression in the sight of God. In fact, under the old covenant, if a prophet spoke anything apart from the word of God, they were to be stoned to death. In fact, under the old covenant, presumption carried death penalty. That's to show us how sinful it is. Today, we don't pay attention to it, but God is bringing his church back to order, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming for a perfect church. And those who have ears to hear, they will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Because the Holy Spirit is the one preparing us as the bride of Christ. You all know that when people want to marry, the lady will have bridesmaid who will prepare her for her wedding day. Dress her up, prepare her as beautiful as they could to present her to the groom. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You are now the bride of Christ, and Jesus is coming to take us to himself. So the Holy Spirit is working on us to prepare us as the perfect bride unto Christ. And that's why the Bible says, let those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because when the time comes for Christ to take us home, I'm sorry to say, it's not every one of us that will go in the rapture. Absolutely not every one of us. It's only those who are ready. Those who have yielded to the Holy Spirit to prepare them ready, they are the ones that will go. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to gather us unto Christ in the air, as the Bible says. Some Christians will be left behind because they did not allow the Holy Spirit to prepare them. They are not ready to go with the groom. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss that thing. Oh, that would be the most, that would be the greatest regret of any Christian life, to realize, well, the rapture has taken place and you are left behind. Oh, in fact, you weep and weep and weep. All the buckets in this world will not be enough to take the tears. Because suddenly you realize, wow, what have I done? That's why we are sharing the words of truth to prepare every one of us, to warn us, and get us ready. Hallelujah. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So again, it says there, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression. The falling away from the faith of God. Hallelujah. And Bible actually tells us, remember Paul wrote to Timothy as a pastor then to teach his congregation. He said the Holy Spirit was speaking to him expressly, that in the latter days some would depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of the devil. They were in the faith before, but they've left it. They were on the right road before, but they veered off. And if the Holy Spirit was saying that, as long as Paul wrote those scriptures, how much more now? So we have to pay attention to these things. So, let's also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And then get your pen and paper. I will just explain what presumption really means so we can understand it. And then we'll look at practical examples in the scriptures to clarify what this is all about. And to see that it's so easy for any one of us to fall into it if we are not on our guard. It's so easy. In fact, it's very easy for many of us who know the scripture and we quote it all day long to fall into presumption. We'll see the trap in a short while. Because the devil sets traps for us in that area of presumption. Well, okay, these people, they call themselves Christians, they call themselves gospel people. They call themselves Holy Ghost people. They go everywhere and say, shandara, baranda, and then they bind me all day long. I will set traps for them. I'll try as much as possible to get them off the road so that they will not be effective in binding me anymore. Don't underestimate the devil's strategy. We need to be steps ahead of him. We need to be sober, Bible says, and be vigilant. We need to keep alert in the spirit so we don't fall into the trap of the enemy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Oh God, have mercy on us. and help us. In the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 18. The verse we need is verse 20, but I'm going to pick it from verse 18 so that we can get it in a bit of context. We'll read it from verse 18 to verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18, from verse 18 to 22. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Hallelujah. In other words, in this passage of scripture, we see clearly that to speak presumptuously is to presume that what you are saying is from God when God has not told you to say it. See the key? Well, you know, today, even in Pentecostal circles, you hear many people say, the Holy Spirit said. But the Holy Spirit has not said anything. Because when you hear what they are saying, and you test it, as Bible says, test the Spirit to know whether they are of God, you realize the Holy Spirit can't say this kind of thing. It's just not the Holy Spirit. It is wrong. They are acting presumptuously without them knowing. That's why we have to be alert in the Spirit to discern whether it is of God, because the devil can disguise as an angel of light and try to lead us in wrong ways without us knowing that we are not being led by the Spirit, we are being led by the enemy. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the voice of the stranger they will not obey, which means the stranger is speaking to them too. But the sheep of Jesus are humble enough, just like David was humble when we read it, remember? In Psalm chapter 19, remember the first thing he said was, who can understand his errors? In other words, I'm going to be careful that I don't fall into error. Show me the way, O Lord. That's another way to paraphrase it. Be my guide. Show me how to do it. Show me where to step. Show me what to say so that I don't fall into error. Hallelujah. That's humility. The same way Jesus came to show us how to please the Father. The way of humility. Pride always leads to presumption. We shall see that in a short while. Presumption and pride go together. And when we become proud and self-willed, we will always be in presumption. Because we think we know. But actually what we know, we don't know well. Humility makes me look to God for guidance at all times. But pride says, I already know what to do because I can quote scriptures. How many people know that the devil can quote scripture more than Christians? The devil had the audacity to quote scripture to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. And he quoted it accurately. He used King James Version. He said, it is written, I'll give my angels charge over you. Thank God Jesus was walking in discernment. So even though you hear King James Version, you better rightly divide the word of truth. Don't say, well, that's King James Version, that's the way. Oh, praise God, let me jump now. Before you know, you've broken all your bones. God have mercy on us. Hallelujah. So we see that presumption has to do with saying what God has not guided you to say, or doing what God has not guided you to do. Now let's turn also to Numbers. We'll begin to see practical example now. Then we'll look at one more scripture. In fact, while we are turning to Numbers chapter 14, I want you to write this down, so that as we look at these scriptures, you can match what presumption is with what we are reading from these scriptures. And you see how it is so easy for us, even who know the Bible, who quote the Bible, to get into presumption if we are not humble and if we are not alert in the spirit. It's so easy. Because you think you know the scripture. And then you can quote it. Then because of that, you know what to do. And just go ahead and do it. And before you know, you've done the wrong thing. You've done the wrong thing. Even though you think you are doing the right thing because you know the word. Please write this down. The word translated presumption in Psalm 19 that we read earlier, verse 13, the Hebrew word translated presumption there literally means arrogant, to be arrogant. It means to be proud. It means to be rebellious. Arrogant, proud, rebellious. It means to be daring. In other words, you dare to do something because you think you already know what to do. I dare to do it. Don't dare to do anything unless God tells you to do it, because you can be on the wrong road. And also, turn with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10 and write this now also about presumption. So we are looking at what the Bible actually says presumption is. So in Psalm 19 verse 13, presumption is arrogance, it is pride, it is rebellion, it is daring to do something. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, it is to be self-willed. In other words, you are doing your own will instead of the will of God. Well, I know the Bible, I'm just going to act upon it. Well, as God told you to act upon it, at that time, at that place. So you begin to see, which I see examples here clearly. To just do your own will is presumption. Jesus said, I've not come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That's the key. We are not to be self-willed just because we say we are Christians, we are Pentecostals, we quote scripture, we memorize scripture. You can miss God big time, even with all that. The devil can quote scripture more than many of us. James actually tells us, you say you believe in one God. What have you done? Even the devils themselves believe and they tremble. In other words, show me your faith by your works. Then I'll be able to show you whether you're on the right road or wrong road. Hallelujah. Because faith must be matched with corresponding works that are pleasing in the sight of God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. 2 Peter chapter 2, quickly. Then we'll come back to Numbers chapter 14. In a short while. But let's look under the New Testament. We've seen under the Old Testament what Bible says presumption is. It means, again, arrogance. It means pride. It means rebellion. It means daring. And under the New, we see that Bible says exactly the same thing. To be self-willed. To be self-willed is to rebel against the will of God. You are doing your own will instead of the will of God. It's a rebellion. It is pride. It is saying, God, I know how to do it better than you. I'll have it my own way. Rather than your own way. Let me do this my own way. How many people know that many times when we are offended, we just want to have it our own way? In fact, we'll look for scriptures to back up our action. We'll misinterpret scripture then. We shall see examples in the Bible, even with the followers of Jesus, who misinterpreted scripture. The scripture is accurate, but they are applying it without being led by the Holy Spirit. And when we are hot, we can easily do that. Say, oh, okay, I'll look for one scripture to back my action up. Well, that's just your own will, not the will of God. That's presumption. You begin to see how this thing is so tricky. It's so tricky. We need to be on our guard. 2 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 10. Let's read together. For the sake of context, let us pick it from verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now look at verse 10. They are presumptuous, are they self-willed. In other words, when you are presumptuous, you are doing your own will rather than the will of God. And you can back your action up by quoting scriptures, but that's not the will of God. Even though it's written in the word of God, that's not the will of God. Because you are wrongly dividing it. God didn't put that there for that purpose. You are taken out of context. Well, how many people know that the temptation, one of the temptations that the devil gave to Jesus was the scripture? But was that the will of God for Jesus to jump? He said, it is written, I'll give my angels charge over you, jump. Well, that's the scripture. Correct scripture. Accurately quoted. Everything perfectly quoted. But that's not the will of God for Jesus to jump. If Jesus had jumped, he would have acted presumptuously, doing his own will. You see the trap there? Also write this down. I looked up that word, presumption, in the Webster's Dictionary, and it defines it this way. To undertake without leave, in other words, without permission or clear justification, to undertake to do something without permission or clear justification. So you just justify yourself. God didn't justify you in the matter. you just decided to do it your own way. It also means to suppose to be true without proof. So presumption is to suppose that something is true, but you have no proof. Now, remember, Bible says we should test the Spirit, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is true. You have to prove all things. So if you act without proving something, you can end up in presumption without you knowing. And finally, it means to take for granted. You just take it for granted. Well, I know what the Bible says. Let's just go on and do it. Well, have you asked God? Have you inquired of the Lord for the Holy Spirit to guide you? David always inquired of God. He didn't say, well, the Philistines, I killed their giant Goliath. Let me go after them and kill them. No, Bible says he will inquire of God. Shall I go? Are you going to go with me? And God will say, go. See the key? Otherwise, he could have gone presumptuously and would have been defeated and put to shame. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, no matter how many scriptures we know. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Bible says. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 14. We see the practical example here, and then we look at one more other scripture in the New Testament. Again, we see the same pattern in the Old and in the New, because God is consistent all through the Bible. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Don't say the Old Testament has passed away. It hasn't passed away. It is actually in the New Testament. Most of the things we read in the New Testament is the Old Testament referred to and explained better. Isn't that so? There's quite a lot of Psalms quoted in the New Testament. Now, look at what Bible says there in Numbers chapter 14. For the sake of time, I'll just remind you quickly, because we all know the story. You know, the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land, and God told Moses to ask the elders of each of the 12 tribes to go and spy the land. 12 people were selected. They were the elders of each of the tribe. Not just anybody. The chief people in each tribe. And the 12 of them went. They all saw the same thing. And then they came back to give the report to Moses. And they said, well, the land we went is exactly as God said. It's a good land with milk and honey. We even brought some of the grapes. Look at giant grapes. That land is good. But, that's a problem. But there are giants in the land. That's a problem. Yeah? Giants are there, so we can't go into the land because of the giants. In fact, those giants are so big that we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes and in the eyes of the giants. Now, did the giants even see them? They went as by. How could they have known what the giant was thinking? You see, when we don't listen to God, the devil will come with another version. The devil told them, so those giants, they've seen you as grasshopper. They'll just crush you. But I don't go near that land because... But thank God for Joshua and Caleb. 10 elders came, Bible says, with evil report that was contrary to God's own report. But Joshua and Caleb came with a good report. And God was so angry when they were murmuring against Moses in the camp and said, well, you should have left us in Egypt. They murmured against Moses. And, you know, the leader gets the flack when there's trouble. Everybody blames the leader. Like we say, on his lies the head that wears the crown. And God was so angry. God said, Moses, step aside. Let me deal with these children for you. Just watch what I will do. I will wipe all of them off in a moment. Then I will raise a new generation from you. Oh, I don't know about you. I probably will say, oh God, oh, what a nice idea. Why is it taking you so long? These people have almost killed me. They are difficult people to lead. Oh God, that's a very good plan. Just wipe them. Oh, I step aside. Wipe them off. Let there be a new generation called Moses' generation, the meekest man on the earth. But you see, the way of God is so different. And Moses immediately began to intercede for the same rebellious people. Say, God, don't do that because of the nations. The heathen nations are not going to have a good respect for you. Because they say, what kind of God is this? He took his people out, promised to take them somewhere, and then he destroyed them. And God said, okay, because of you, okay, all right then. But then Bible says, those 10 elders that brought evil report, they died right in the presence of God on that day by the plague. And look at the action of the people after that. That's where we are going this morning. Presumption, death setting. Hallelujah. So, those men died, as Bible says, look at verse 37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now, presumption setting. See, self-will. Emotional response. Oh, we've made mistake. Oh, Oh, look at these people now. There are 10 elders there. They are dead. Oh, why did we grieve God so much? Okay, now let's correct it. That's self-will. We have to be careful now. Look at what they then did. Verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we go up unto the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. In other words, now, let us correct our mistake. We listen to those 10 people that have died now. We have sinned against God in listening to them. We should have listened to Joshua and Caleb. Now, let us go. Let's go at once. Let's go into the land. And God said, no. Don't go now. I told you to go before. You are not ready to go. Now, don't go. But they didn't listen again to God. You see, every time we don't listen to God's guidance and we think we know what to do, we end up in presumption. So God told them, don't go now. Look at verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. You've already grieved him. He's not going with you again to take the land. Not at this time. Not at this time. Not with this generation. That's my paraphrase. So there's no point in you going, because God is not going now. So if God is not leading us, we begin to see. If God is not leading us, we can act presumptuously. They are acting on the word of God that told them, well, I've given you the land. Spy it and go and take it. Joshua and Caleb told them, when the other 10 spies were telling them not to go, they said, let's go in at once. God is with us. They wanted to stone them to death. So God was grieved. God, now, I said, I'm not going with this generation anymore. Now they decided, well, we'll go and take it because we've sinned against God. Let's go and correct the mistake. You see presumption now? And Moses warned them again. If they had the right eye, they should have listened to the leader that they've been complaining about all along and said, okay, Moses. You mean we shouldn't go now? When are we to go then? He would have told them, well, until God tells us again. So just stay where you are. Don't bother. So Moses told them, don't go. Don't go. Now look at what they did. Verse 44. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Well, I'm not going with you. Because God is not going with you. Hallelujah. If I don't follow people to do what they want to do, if God is not the one leading them, just excuse yourself. You are not here to follow the crowd. In fact, there's a scripture that says we should not follow the multitude to sin. They said, everybody is going, so I will go too. Oh, you miss God big time, because that's presumption. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. So they went. Look at verse 45. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Homer. They just killed themselves for nothing. They should have listened, but they decided to act presumptuously. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 9 as we round up. Under the new covenant, we see another practical example. Don't say, oh, well, that was under the old covenant. It was because of those children of Israel. Well, they are stiff-necked people anyway. That's why they acted presumptuous. How about under the new? How about the followers of Jesus? How about the disciples of Jesus? The real people of God, as we will call them today. How about you and I? As followers of Christ. These were people following Christ. They've heard all the sermons of Jesus Christ. They've been with Christ. They sat down to eat with Christ. They've heard everything from the one that Jesus ever preached. They should be people of faith, not people of presumption. But they decided to act presumptuously. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. So that's why each one of us have to be on our guard. Don't just say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm Pentecostal. Oh, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in other tongues. Kondro shika mahanda. Before you know, The devil has got you to act presumptuously. Just be on your guard. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't just act on the word of God. Make sure you are led by the Spirit before you act, even on the word of God. Because see, the word of God is letter without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that breathes life into the word and makes the word come alive, and it becomes what God is doing at that point in time. If God is not doing it at that point in time, because there's a time and season for every word of God to be fulfilled. If you try to fulfill it before that time, you are working against God. God has his own appointed time. This is why just having the letter or the scripture and memorizing it is not enough for you to act upon unless the Holy Spirit is the one telling you do it now. There's a time and season for everything. How many people, as we turn to Luke chapter 9, how many people remember this, another good example, that Saul of Tarsus met Jesus on the road to Damascus in that vision, and Jesus told him that he was chosen to be his messenger. You know what Bible tells us? After the blindness was removed from him, you remember he was sent to the house of Ananias, the prophet, who prayed for him, and then the scale fell off the eyes of Paul. Bible says the next day he went into the synagogue to begin his ministry, to start preaching. But everyone that was in they ran. Because they said, how can he say it's now on our side? He's using trick. He's looking for Christian to take again and persecute. So that's presumption. Well, God has called you, but there's a time for that calling to become, you know, something that you walk in. You have to wait for God's time. Jesus, many times, his parents tried to push him before his time. Remember, he would say, what have I got to do with you? My time has not come yet. In other words, I'm not going to act presumptuously. I know my Father sent me here. I'm here to do my Father's business, but I must be led by the Spirit. He waited until the Holy Spirit led him. Hallelujah. You see what we are talking about? Don't just go by the letter of the word. You need the Holy Spirit. If you are not sure, wait on God in prayer until you receive the Spirit, and then you have clear direction, and God will be going with you. You won't be the one going alone, because if God doesn't go with you and you go alone, what happened to those children of Israel? What will happen to us? We'll be defeated. We need God to go in our boat, so to say, so that we don't suffer shipwreck and damage spiritually. Hallelujah. Now, look, chapter 9. Oh, God have mercy. We'll pay attention on verse 54, but we are going to read it in context from verse 50 to 56. Luke chapter 9. Verses 50 to 56. Let's pick it from verse 51 to 56. Luke chapter 9 from verse 51 to 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, James and John were two of the pillars. Let me use that word. Two of the pillars of Christ's followers in their days. Because Jesus had three that were closest to him out of the 12 disciples that he appointed initially, Peter, James, and John. They were the three that he took to the Mount of Transfiguration. So we are talking about the inner circle of Jesus here. Look at what they said. Look at what they said. James and John, look at what they said. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did. Isn't that wonderful? Men of God, full of the Holy Spirit. Let me put it this way, particularly in Pentecostal circle. Oh, let's call fire! Fire from heaven! And let the fire burn them down! Because they said no to Jesus. They should not leave. They should die. Why should anybody say no to Jesus? They should perish in hell right now. We don't need to wait for hell to come before they perish. Let us get hell to come to them now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, fire come from heaven and consume them. That's presumption. They thought they were doing the right thing. They have the scripture to back them up. It is written, when Elijah was down here on earth, and those prophets of Baal that were not honoring God were there, Elijah called fire from heaven and burned all those things up, and then got all those prophets to be killed. So they wanted to destroy the whole of those Samaritans. But look at what Jesus said. Oh, God have mercy. Verse 55. But they turned and rebuked them. I'm sure they must have been surprised. But what have we done wrong now? Why is the master rebuking us? We are trying to help him. These people are saying no to him. And we want to do what Elijah did. And show the master that we are faithful to him. We are doing the work of God. Let's destroy the enemy. No. The Samaritans may say no now, but do you know tomorrow? They may say no to Jesus today. Tomorrow they can say yes. You don't know tomorrow, so why do you want to kill them today? And for all you know, the Samaritans actually turned to Christ later, before many other cities. Remember that woman at the well of Samaria? She got the whole town to convert to Christ. Hallelujah. So we can't act presumptuously. So, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In other words, that heart that you have in saying you want to call fire from heaven to destroy the people is not of God. It's a wrong heart, wrong spirit. That's not God. God didn't lead you into that. You are self-willed. Even though you have scripture to stand on, the Holy Spirit is not leading in that direction. So we begin to see that it's not enough to just have scripture and say, I know what the Bible says, so let me just do it now. No, you still need to be led by the Spirit. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8 as we pray. You see, God must be the one leading us. So we begin to see why Paul prayed unto God to keep him back from presumptuous sins, so that those sins don't dominate his life. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in all that we do. This is why we must have the Word of God and have prayer to go with it, so that the Holy Spirit will show us whether we should act upon it at that time or not. That's a time and season for everything. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is as many as claim to be children of God are the sons of God. It is as many as claim to be Christians or have Christian names are the sons of God. It is as many as have Bible in different translations are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit. That was why Jesus rebuked those disciples, James and John. You don't know the kind of spirit you have in saying that. You think you are right? No, that's wrong. And if they had done that, they would have acted presumptuously. Because that's not what God is doing at that point in time. Hallelujah. Now let us pray in Jesus' name. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. It's about yielding to Him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's about yielding to Him. It's about humbling ourselves under His hand to say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, help me. Not to act presumptuously. Show me the way. If at any time I want to go astray, remind me that that's not the way to go. Just as Jesus told His disciples, that's not the way. Holy Spirit, help me. So that I don't go astray. So that I don't act presumptuously in any area of my life. Help me. Not just to live by the letter of the word, but to allow You to be the one quickening the word of God to me. So that I may act on the revelation that You bring to me. In the situation, in that need, in that circumstance, at that point in my life. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit, to surrender to You and to allow myself to be led of You in all areas of life. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray to God along those lines. That's the prayer that David prayed. Keep back thy servants from presumptuousness. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will keep us back from the way of error, because He has come to lead us and guide us into all truth, as Jesus said. He guides us in the way of truth, because He Himself does not speak of Himself. He only says to us what the Father is saying from heaven. Led by the Holy Spirit, we will never miss the mark. We'll be doing exactly what God Himself is doing at that point in time. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit leads. He hears from heaven, He says to us. He sees what God is doing in heaven, He shows to us here on earth. That's the way it works. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Thank You, mighty Holy Spirit. As we humble ourselves under Your hand this morning, and we stand in the gap for our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ. Every believer in Christ, that this truth that we have shared this morning, You help every one of us to bear it in our minds, that we may not act presumptuously. Keep us back from presumptuous sins. For as it is written, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And You are the Spirit of faith. You are the one whom Jesus has sent to teach us, guide us into all truth, and lead us in the way everlasting. Help us to surrender to Your leading. Help us not to be self-willed. Help us to surrender our will to the will of God. For You, Holy Spirit, always helps us to go and do the will of God. Thank You for helping us now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Well, say, thank You, Holy Spirit. You are my leader. You are my guide. Help me to yield to You every moment of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.